On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Happy Thursday. Glad you're with us. Hope you got big plans today. Looks like it's going to be gorgeous outside. Hoping to make it over to the BMW Championship myself here at some point this afternoon. So if I can get through the traffic, I'll get over there. Somebody said earlier, way to be a buzzkill, Mark. I was thinking about going to the BMW Championship. You scared me off because of your traffic talk. If you were planning to go, that means you already have tickets. I would hope you're going to go anyway, number one. Number two, there's a shuttle service. Nothing could be easier. You just go park at the St. Louis Family Arena, and they'll drive you over there. It's they've got it all worked out because they've been doing this for a number of years. So I don't all I meant by traffic problems is if you're not going to the golf tournament, you might run into a few backups if you're like on 141 around Conway, something like that, or right down there around Mason or wherever you would get off to drive back to Belle Reve off of 40.
And Tom Ackerman was saying that if you want to do rideshare like Uber or Lyft, you just go to Whitfield and then they'll have all that set up for you to go. It sounds like it should be relatively easy to get in again if you are going, but
yeah,
I plan to stay far away from that. I don't even live near that area anymore. I grew up not too far from that area, but... Yeah. No.
What time does Michael tee off?
Whatever. So Michael, my husband's friend, had reached out to him about the BMW Championship.
Oh, nice.
And I know nothing about golf. Nothing. Probably one of my least favorite sports. I think it's very boring. I said what I said. And I thought he was playing. Now, I didn't think he was playing alongside the pros. I knew that much. But I thought maybe, like, oh, maybe there's a day where, you know, kind of the average Joe gets to play. Now, I realize in hindsight, okay, why would they ever want random people playing on a very pristine golf course where you have then professionals playing the next day and the following day? I get it. All right.
Correct.
However, my brain went to, oh, wow, he could play. No, he was invited to watch.
No. It's tough to get to play out there to begin with,
let alone know that much.
Around the BMW Championship. I've been blessed enough to be invited out there before.
And you're playing,
it's
right?
A gorgeous course. Playing
you're,
what?
You're playing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They want my 100 score up on the board there just to make fun of me. That's what they'd want. All right, coming up, we'll talk to Griff Jenkins a little later. If you missed our interview, seriously, with Mike Lara, Executive Director of the Missouri Gaming Commission, you need to go back and listen. We did it last hour, 7:35. You can rewind the Odyssey app, or we'll have it up for demand on demand there on the podcast for you shortly. Fascinating, fascinating interview on how your money's being spent. And here's the deal. Like, you could sense the frustration in his voice because he doesn't have any control over it, just so you know that. And I got to address this because somebody's hounding me on the text line this morning. And this is the message the guy sends me. Mark, I don't understand how you can't see that you're making the argument for all of us who didn't vote for Amendment 4. We can't trust anything. Even though we might trust your opinion, we don't trust the government. How can there be $2 billion and only $3 million paid out? Because the government are liars. But and I had to respond to him here because you've missed the point. The government has no control over this. The gambling industry wrote the language. They paid enough signatures. They paid for enough signatures to get it on the ballot, and they spent millions of dollars in lying ads to convince enough people and soccer moms to vote for it because they lied about giving $100 million to Missouri schools. I warned you about all of this during this campaign when it was on the ballot. I said, this is a lie. There's no way they're going to give that much money to schools, and people voted for it anyway. Well, guess what? When it is a citizen-led initiative petition, which is what the left takes advantage of all the time, you can write anything you want in the details. Nobody ever looks at it. And then once it gets approved, guess what? It goes into the Missouri Constitution, where there's nothing the legislature, generally speaking, can do about it. So Mike Lira of the Gaming Commission gets $5 million more deposited into an account to battle addiction every year for his commission. but the money's not being spent. Because, frankly, the gaming industry could care less if you're spending too much money on gambling. They're not policing it. And there's you can't force somebody into treatment. And when it comes to education, they promised one thing, but they're not following through. That's the gaming industry that wrote that language, not your government officials. This is not about a lack of trust in government. I get your point. When the lottery was originally proposed, when riverboat gambling was originally proposed in Missouri, it was sold to the people that, well, we'll insist that a certain percentage of their profits have to go to education. And everybody thought, oh, great, this is great. It's all going to support education. And then they didn't commingle the money. They just replaced the taxpayer money they were putting in with that money, and therefore the education budget never really went up very much.
So why didn't the schools then? Why are we not hearing all these public schools who were promised all this money? Why are they not squawking about this? If I were a public school district, a superintendent, I would be out there saying,
it's too
look,
late.
You, why not?
It's too late.
Why is it too late?
Because it's in the Constitution.
Right, it's in the Constitution, but the idea is that they have all this money. Why is it not being given to the school? It's in the Constitution that a certain amount should go to the schools.
And shame on anybody who went out there and campaigned in favor of it. I don't know if the teachers' unions were in favor of it or not, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm sure they were.
If they had somebody dangling $100 million in front of them, and I warned you at the time, that'll never happen, because if you read the bill, which very few people did, they can take every write-off in the world before they ever claim a profit, and the percentage of money that goes to education is only a tiny percent of whatever their profit is. So every time they this is old news. Every time they offer somebody free play, you get $100 in free play if you join my gaming app today, right? Mm-hmm. Or your buddy does if you forward the app. That $100 is a tax deduction for them. They get to deduct that from whatever their profits are. So the gaming industry designed this law, and it's now in the Constitution, and there's nothing legislators in Jeff City can do about how the money is spent. They can't. So to my point here, for the guy that's complaining here from the 636, if that's your argument for not voting for Amendment 4, which could have changed initiative petition process to prevent this from happening in the future, I don't think you understand the issue here. This is how they're abusing our Constitution, plain and simple. They're abusing our Constitution and changing the initiative petition process. The citizen-led initiative petition process is the only way to stop that abuse going forward. Amendment 4 would have done that. You may not have liked all the details in it, but it would have stopped this nonsense. So bellyaching about it now does no good. I mean, even if the superintendents wanted to come out and say, where's our money? Mm-hmm. There's nobody to answer for it, because the gaming industry got just what they wanted, and they made $2.3 billion last year since this thing's been enacted. And $3 million has gone to schools. $3 million has gone to schools in the state of Missouri. It was a scam from the get-go, and I tried to warn people about it. But the ads overwhelmed the airwaves. This is what's wrong with the initiative petition process in Missouri. So I'll get off my soapbox, and I went a little long there. So when we come back, we'll get to some of our top stories. At the bottom of the hour, we've got Griff Jenkins for you. Stay tuned.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
Would you be a good president?
We'll see. I don't know.
What do you think you would?
That's a difficult question to answer. I mean, so I have no idea. I would like to think I would be, but that's for others to determine. By the way.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom, they just flat out ask him, would you be a good president? Well, I don't know. That's for others to determine. I know I was a good mayor, because he sure as hell wasn't a good governor, or isn't, in the state of California, which he's taken straight down the crapper out there.
I'm told by multiple federal sources that the suspect arrested in Fairfax County, Virginia, for allegedly stabbing a mother to death near a popular jogging trail in Great Falls on Monday is, as you mentioned, a Salvadoran illegal alien who was caught and released at the border by the Biden administration.
There you go. There's another one. The list of dead Americans is piling up thanks to the open border policies of the left. And now you have socialists running for office, and many times people running as Democrats who want to end immigrations and customs enforcement. And all they're doing is out there rounding up these bad guys before they can kill anyone else.
I don't understand, like, there's no sexualization at a drag show. It's just people dressing up and singing and performing. I've taken my children to drag shows, and it's fun. It's entertainment. It's wholesome entertainment.
Operation Let Them Speak. That is Angie Nixon, who's now running for Senate down in the great state of Florida, guaranteeing that seat will stay in Republican hands. Thank you.
See, he doesn't want to do the job. He wants to build his ballroom and travel with Natalie on their apparently defenseless flying palace gifted by the Emir of Qatar.
That guy is dangerous. Have you heard all this talk, Kim? I've tried to ignore the story, and I'm going to mention it here against my better judgment, because I don't like to play into the hands of the left in this country with their ridiculous talking points. John Ossoff started this. He's obviously the senator from the state of Georgia running for re-election down there. He has hinted in his speech the other day, you heard it there, that the 80-year-old president of the United States is engaged in some sort of a improper relationship with the 35-year-old person who handles his social media, who's with him all the time because he's always on social media. Suggesting that somehow Natalie Harp is her name, is accompanying the president for the wrong reasons. There's zero evidence of this. This girl is a cancer survivor. It was one of Donald Trump's policy changes in his first administration that gave people the opportunity to try medicines that were not currently approved yet if you were facing a fatal diagnosis of some sort. And she credits that with saving her life. And she is happily an employee of this administration and has told everyone that. And yet the left continues to hammer on this like it's a real thing. I hate to bring it up, but I have to bring it up to let you know that there is no low the left will not go to in this country to regain power. Nothing.
I guess you can never say never when it comes to presidents having affairs, and you can point to several examples of that. However, I can't see Donald Trump doing this, especially given all these allegations. I mean, even what's the name of that woman who just won her case with the Supreme Court ruled on that, right?
Yes.
Where he has to give her, $5 million or something like that. So he would be so stupid to have any, even a look of an inappropriate relationship with somebody.
They have no proof of it. They try to use it as some sort of a, the point they were trying to make is that apparently she moved with him to that military transport plane when they shifted him before they flew him out of Oman or wherever they were the last time, or Turkey. And they're acting like that is some indication of something. It's ridiculous. But now the left stream media in this country is talking about it like it's a thing. And it was never brought up before John Ossoff made the ridiculous allegation other day.
I hope Natalie comes out and says something about it, makes some sort of a statement.
I do too.
But what's even the point of doing this? Because is this supposed to help Democrats for the midterms by dogging
Trump
and saying that
it helps rile up their base. That's all they care about.
I guess
that's
you're right. Well, then think about this. We have a few more months until this election. It's going to only ramp up from here, all these crazy allegations.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree. A little update to a story that we reported on the other day. In fact, we had somebody from Live Action on talking about this. The Gateway Pundit was reporting this, and they reported it originally. They've been doing pretty extensive coverage of this surrogate who refused to have an abortion, right? And it's now being reported that the parents are suing her now. They filed a $100,000 lawsuit against her. And they're alleging that she fled to Texas to have the child, because when you have a child in Texas, the person giving birth to the child is listed as the child's mother. And the family's alleging that she did that to try to gain custody of their child. So they're now seeking over $100,000 in damages plus unspecified sums for what they call her malicious, outrageous conduct.
What a mess.
Her attorney emphasized that the biological parents already stopped payments to her. They were paying her $60,000 to be the surrogate.
Well, I don't blame them for stopping payments.
Correct.
Well, she already had the baby. But, I mean, this is just one more reason why surrogacy is not the way God designed it to be.
Because live action probably is helping and some other pro bono work, West is prepared for a full legal battle, potentially taking this to the United States Supreme Court. Interesting. And the parents are probably apparently back in temporary custody of this baby, which is about to have surgery, according to the folks at Live Action. All right, we'll be back with Griff Jenkins after the bottom of the hour.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
Man, I'm just waiting for the day when Griff Jenkins is just so busy he can't even do radio hits anymore for the Mark Cox Morning Show. Because this
that
guy
day will never happen.
This guy's
never come
on the couch. He's filling in for Kilmeade. He's in New York half the time. We really appreciate you giving us a few minutes, Griff. How are you?
I'm great, and this is my home. I will never not join you guys. Are you
thank
kidding
you.
Me? But I am actually back, and they've had me busy, but I'm back in D.C. It is gentlemen start your engines time, because I'm going to be doing live shots tomorrow morning and then doing Fox and Friends weekend all weekend here in D.C. because for the first time ever, and I've lived in D.C. since 1993, we have the IndyCar racers, the actual circuit. It's an official circuit race. It will be right here in the nation's capital, sort of the part of the America 250 stuff. Secretary Duffy was able to work with the IndyCar. You literally got Alex Palou, Pato O'Ward, all of the big racers are going to be going 220 miles an hour down Pennsylvania Avenue on 3rd Street in front of the Capitol. There's going to be a great grandstand. I'm going to go down and do some interviews today that I'll use tomorrow morning in my reporting. But it's free. It's open to the public. I think you have to register to get certain tickets. And by the way, you know, America 250 from the 4th of July to now this, the Washingtonians are somewhat perturbed about the traffic nightmare that this city is. But I get around it by just riding those Lime scooters, which you know I'm a fan of.
Yep, I've done it.
You go up on the curbs and go around stuff. But literally, come, they're going to be doing some sort of special stuff for people to see on Saturday. But Sunday at like 1 p.m., this town is going to be electric, because you're going to have all these Indy cars going 200 miles an hour looping around Independence Avenue and Pennsylvania Avenue, and it actually counts. It's an actual race. They're trying to qualify. What's so cool is, you know, you've all seen in our coverage from the Indy 500, of course, the legendary Indianapolis track. That's an oval, right? That's an oval racetrack. This is, they've literally turned D.C. streets, which I have no idea how they did, because let me tell you, the potholes suck in this town.
Yeah, I thought so.
They have got this track set up for them to go full bore and race, and it's going to be something. I'm actually angling because, remember, I got myself in the two-seater actual IndyCar for a couple of laps in Indianapolis. I'm trying to angle to get whipped around Pennsylvania Avenue in an IndyCar. We'll see if that happens.
Oh, it's pretty exciting. I would love to do that. They had a drifting competition over here at the racetrack at Gateway near us a few years back, and I got to go over and ride in one of those cars, and they took me out on the track where they basically had these souped up engines in these little cars, and they drift in circles about, I mean, they literally come a few inches from the wall. So my question there is, how do they protect the public if one of these cars flips over, Griff?
I've no idea. That's a good question. And, you know, look, there are crashes in these races.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go down this afternoon, Mark, and do some interviews with, like, the director of the race. And you've just given me perhaps my favorite question to ask them, how they're going to handle it. Because, you know, you've been here. You've been down in the mall and Pennsylvania Avenue. It's not built for that. I mean, I assume we're going to see some form of retaining walls or something up there, but I will dutifully report back to you on live TV tomorrow. But that's a real good question, because you're talking about cars going 200 miles an hour whipping around turns. I do know, by the way, in just doing a little bit of research, that when they do these tracks, and there are some other road tracks that they traditionally do in the circuit, I think they have like 15 or 20 races for the whole season. And Indy's only the fifth or sixth stop on it. But I do know they have road tracks, and that when they do the road races as opposed to the oval, it is more physically demanding because the drivers are having to factor in more of a concern for a crash.
Sure.
on road tracks.
You know, it's funny that you're talking about this, because I keep forgetting that there's still events going on for America 250, that it's not just a July 4th thing, that it's all year round we're celebrating this, and that the Trump administration has, there's just cool things going on. So it's nice to hear, oh yeah, reminder, there's still some cool stuff this year, still to go.
Oh, absolutely. You know, honestly, regardless of where your politics are, it is something to behold. And if you're listening to me and you were thinking about whether or not you should make a quick into summer trip or early fall trip to the nation's capital, man, this is the time to do it. And, you know, it's just a patriotic spirit. And, you know, the administration has gone to great lengths to clean up and beautify the monuments. And, you know, this is one of those things where if it's not on your bucket list, you should put it on there, even if it's for a short couple of day weekend getaway to the nation's capital. And if you're thinking about it this weekend, pull the trigger, go late, because I don't know exactly how the ticketing works, but it is all along this, you know, basically along the mall near the mall area. And so anybody can come and go and see it.
You can see the new reflecting pool. Yeah, that'll be great. Yeah.
You can see the reflecting pool. What's really so amazing, whether it's the reflecting pool or the ballroom or the monuments, is that President Trump has been so consumed with so many world global events, namely, of course, the Iran war and that he actually really, as a builder, because that's his background, really does put quite a lot of emphasis and attention on projects that actually the American people can cherish and enjoy.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, let me ask you before you go. I got a bite here from the president. I don't want to run it because it's too long, but he was complaining yesterday about the lawsuit that's now pending against him with the renovations to the ballroom, right? And he was complaining that they waited until obviously they were deep into the construction to find some liberal judge that would order a pause in the construction. And in the meantime, if you read the legal documents, it's effectively giving aid and comfort to our enemies of this country, because it unveils the fact that there's a 6-story deep military installation underneath the ballroom. Nobody needed to know those details.
No one did, but excuse me. No one did. And it's a great point. You know, loose lips sink ships. That's the original tagline for it. But it also, by the way, does, I think, and I'm not a lawyer, but I would think from a legal standpoint, it does help his case quite greatly in the national security reasoning for needing it. And we clearly don't have that. And, you know, it's just remarkable. We've never existed in such a environment where the threats have been so high on a president.
Right.
And, you know, at some point, we're going to have a Democrat president in the White House. And, you know, at some point, fortunately, knock on wood, we haven't had world leaders targeted when they come for their visits here. But, you know, that is a part of the matrix. That is a part of the threat matrix. And, you know, I was there at the White House Correspondents' Dinner when there was an attempt on his life. The future White House Correspondents' Dinners will be at this location, according to the administration, and, right. and not at a hotel where a crazy person could try and assassinate the president or kill anyone else. And so I think he's going to win it. And while you're right to point out it sucks that the details got out on that, it also bolsters his argument for exactly why we need something that doesn't currently exist.
That's good. Griff, have fun this weekend, my friend.
Hey, start your engines, and you will be jealous if I get in that IndyCar. I'm pretty dead set on trying to make it happen, so I'll let you know next week how it goes.
I love it. All right, we'll talk soon, my friend. Thank you.
Have a great weekend, guys.
You See bet. Yeah, the one and only Griff Jenkins there. Great to get him on. All right, we'll get to a quick break, and a little bit of door knocking going on in the area. If your door may get knocked on today, we're going to tell you why coming up. Isn't that great music?
You're so
happy.
Happy
my music is back. I tell you, we've had to give up music on a lot of the social media feeds, but at least I've got the music back to getting in my show. We were getting threatened to be kicked off YouTube and all that stuff violating music rights or something. It's the silliest thing you've ever heard. But anyway, we do have an opportunity for you. We talk a lot about getting people involved in the process, right? And I got to tell you, man, I was thinking about this earlier this week when we were talking about the thing that's going on in Wright City with the asphalt plant, and mm-hmm. people are mad because they found out about it after the fact. I think the first vote on this was taken a year ago. And my experience in local government and state government is that so many things happen at the grassroots level that you don't find out who candidates are until after grassroots people have already picked them in many cases or had an influence over these things. And in city decisions, often these issues float around planning and zoning commissions for weeks, and there are public hearings and all this stuff to which the public never attends. And then the issue gets enough momentum and goes to council and gets voted on, and people act like they're surprised because they don't get engaged in the process. Americans we've gotten lazy. We don't get engaged in the process. So Amendment 3 is coming up. And the goal here is to motivate people to get involved in the process and to be aware of what's going on, the importance of Amendment 3, and to vote. So there's a couple of training opportunities coming up, right?
There's one tonight at 7 p.m. This is through Missouri Right to Life. It'll be over Zoom. All you have to do is go to Missouri Right to Life's website. You'll be able to click on a link to sign up to essentially register, and then you'll be able to go on that Zoom call at 7 o'clock. Now, if you can't make tonight's, but you're still interested in doing this, to try to plug in to try to get Amendment 3 passed in November, Grace Church in Maryland Heights, they're going to be offering an in-person training this Saturday, the 22nd at 9 a.m. And what's interesting about this is you're going to have the actual training at 9 a.m. And then Grace is saying you can actually stay a little bit after, and you can go door knocking in small groups to help you feel a little bit more comfortable, because I am very outgoing. But that's even intimidating for me. But I should note, they're saying that they're only knocking on Republican voters' doors. They're saying the goal is really to secure the votes of people who, if they were informed about this, would want to vote in favor of Amendment 3. So you're not having to worry about going and challenging some, you know, pro-choice voter to Correct. Know all your facts. And they're, yeah. you know, it's not like that. These are maybe people who are conservative, maybe they are pro-life, but they don't feel strongly about it. They don't understand the amendment, or they just don't maybe vote. They don't have enough motivation to actually show up. So you're trying to say, hey, this is important. Here's what this means. People might not realize that, yes, this relates to abortion, but it also, Amendment 3, involves surgeries, these trans surgeries for minors.
Correct. And I'm thrilled that they're doing this, and I hope they do more of it so we can get people to the polls. If you turn out enough people in a red state like Missouri, you're going to achieve your goal on this, and that is to bring some common sense to this abortion issue, where it may not be perfect in everybody's eyes, but it's got to be better than abortion on demand until birth. And if your issue is protecting women, that language is in there, things like that.
Yep.
So I'm glad they're educating people on it. It's good. Hopefully you can attend one of these. And if not, at least educate yourself on Amendment 3 so you can have conversations with your family and your friends about it. It doesn't have to be confrontational, because you know the ones whose minds you aren't going to change.
Yeah. Well, and if you're a listener of the show regularly, you're probably up on these big issues. But we have to remember that so many people are not. I'll guarantee you, if you went and knocked on 100 doors, you would have at least 30% of them, if not more, 40%, who said, I'm sorry, what? What is Amendment 3? I'm sorry, what? There's an election coming up?
I'm afraid
who's on the ballot? They would have no idea.
I fear it would be higher than that.
I'm probably being a little generous. You think what? 60? 60?
I don't know. I'll bet maybe half. I mean, half may be aware there's a general election because it's a midterm. But will they know Amendment 3 is on there, and will they know what a yes on Amendment 3 means?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's confusing for a variety of reasons, including the fact that it was Amendment 3 the last time it was on the ballot. And for most of us, it was a no on 3 then. Now it's yes on 3 because it just so happens to be the third amendment that's on the ballot. So it's called Amendment 3. They got assigned that same number again. And you have to explain to people what it does, and you have to tell them how important it is that they vote. Make it happen. You got to get out of the house and vote on this, because the crazies who are against it are definitely going to get out and vote. They're going to be motivated.
I don't know if it being named the same thing is going to help or hurt, but there's just so many uneducated voters.
I love driving. I'm driving down I-64 there near O'Fallon the other day, and I look up and there's a big billboard that says yes on 3.
Yep,
We are getting the word out, and I'm glad to see them spending some money on that. That's a good thing. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday. Enjoy your day. Stick around for Kilmeade and Annie Fry and Mark Reardon. Just keep it tuned to 97.1 all day long. You're going to get all of the information you need. We'll see you back here Friday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.